Masami at Black Sakura, Toshi in the censor's office, Hiroaki inside the CFB, Sora with the humanist praetor at Romanova, Michi with Casimir Perry, another one, Jun, applied to my institute of all things, and I heard about another, Ran, was it, applying at the Duke's offices? Even your brother had the good sense to send the creature packing. Ganymede's voice dripped poison. No one speaks like this to my sister, Felix. Faust almost laughed. I note you didn't deny it was good sense sending the creature packing. Even the Duke agrees. If the pair of you, he nodded to Andor, want to surround yourselves with bizarre, inhuman life forms, that's your business, but don't send them after the rest of us. Hotaka Ando Mitsubishi's black haori and hakama already made him grimmer than the rest in their French damasks. Now his face did too. I recommend, Headmaster, that you not speak of the Mitsubishi House's barkids in such terms. Headmaster Faust's eyes traced the room. The rest of you don't realize, do you, what those kids are? They're set-sets, every one of them. Tank-reared, psycho-engineered, drug-enhanced, living computers. Fresh tears brightened the jewels of Danae's eyes. No, they aren't. Oh, yes, they are. You think I can't trace the pedigree? Not that I need to. You went so far as to knit them all little brillist code sweaters so they can flaunt it. 1-2-16-17-2-2-20-20. Does that sound like a set that would exist in nature? Felix, please. Cousin Chair Kosala cut in with her most calming voice. Don't you start, Briar. This is entirely your fault. My fault. You and Lorelei Cook. Don't think I don't know about that, too. It's Admirable Briar trying to sabotage set-set breeders. Felix, I don't... Oh, yes, you do. You may not have done it yourself, but you're happy enough to leave Lorelei Cook in office, putting nurturists in every position they can. We're all here, Briar. One word from you. I don't think the head of the nurturist faction should be Romanova's Minister of Education, and the lot of us together could oust them in a heartbeat. But you won't ask for that, because you smile just as much as Cookie every time a set-set facility goes under. Don't get me wrong, I smile too, but you have to be responsible about it. You can't break up the nursery bashes when the things are already 8 years old and assume your fosterage programs will turn them into human beings. Kosala had to push aside the anonymous's attempt at an ill-timed kiss. Then the 10 barkids are unfinished set-sets. Ando and Danae hunted through your orphanages to reunite the whole batch. You know how Mitsubishi love to snap up set-sets when they see profit in it, but one thing those kids aren't is human beings, and they never will be. No cuddly foster program will fix that, Briar, not at 8 years old. Those are not human brains anymore. They don't grow and develop, and they don't get well. A whale can grow and develop. Mycroft Canner can grow and develop. Genetic constructs like His Grace and the Princess, Faust nodded to the Golden Twins. They can grow and develop, based on the genes Madame picked, but with infinite variety in what they can become. But a set-set can't. I don't know how much more clearly I can say it. Briar Kosala tried to make her frown a gentle one. Felix, I... A pause as one of her lover's touches hit home. I do share some of your opinions about set-set training, but a bonsai tree is still... I wish people would stop using that comparison. The headmaster rolled his eyes. It's nothing like a bonsai tree. Bonsai trees grow. It's not even an artificial intelligence. Those grow too. It's a set. Set. He punctuated the phrase with pauses. They pick the developmental level they want on each scale of the set, and they freeze the set in place. 1-2-16-17-2-2-20-20, lifelong. No growth. No dynamism. It's a corpse with glucose pumping through it. You can make a sculpture of a tree out of metal, or glass, or wood, but using wood doesn't make your sculpture a tree. It makes it a tree-shaped artificial object made out of the hacked-up pieces of a dead tree. Brain tissue is a very convenient material to make a computer out of. It has high information density. It's easy to fuel. And if you grow your brain tissue computer inside a human body, it has lots of ready-made input-output interfaces. But it is not a human being. It's farther than dolphins, farther than chimps, farther than you beasts. And it is not welcome in my institute. Felix, please, the princess cried weakly. You're talking about our children. Tears gilded her alabaster cheeks. Have you seen real alabaster, reader? Translucent and somehow warm and cold at once, like sun through snow. They lost their bash because of what Briar and Cookie did. Bringing them together again was what they wanted. Faust's face did not lighten. And if they happen to be perfect tools to help you against the rest of us, that's just coincidence? Friends, please, Madame intervened at last, hiding her expression behind today's silver inlaid fan. Kindly stay civil in the presence of ladies. Of course, madame. Ando did not show anger in his face or tone, but his hands on Ganymede's buttocks grew firm enough to make the Duke wince. You are talking about my children, Faust. Are they to be denied careers in the highest levels because of their background? Faust crossed his arms. In my hive, absolutely. If the rest of you have any sense, you'll keep them out of yours, too. What type of set-sets are they? The Emperor asked flatly. They aren't, the Princess cried, all tears. Felix himself admitted they're unfinished set-sets, only 8 years of training, not enough. They're not any kind of set-set. All their poor powers incomplete, and they were scattered all across the earth. It's cruel. But what kind would they have been? Caesar pressed. Cartesian? Mnemonic? Flash? Don't mistake, Princess. I support protecting the rights of Bashes to raise children as they choose, but I am curious. Through this, Caesar was still enjoying the contours of Madame's neck. I believe the term would have been accelerated set-sets. Faust spat, as if it were profanity. It's a new kind. This Bash, if you can call it that, was a first attempt. I skimmed the case notes. They would have been something between mnemonic and flesh. You know how adrenaline and fight-or-flight reactions enhance processing and memory? Grossly oversimplified, this was trying to make that hyper-focus permanent. When finished, the children would have experienced the world in slow motion. Imagine how impossible to watch a movie or enjoy a conversation when it all seems like slow motion. Talk about crippling a child's ability to participate in and interface naturally and productively with the world at large. These last words, quoted from the Nurturist Eighth Law, made even touch-distracted Ganymede look up. The Anonymous took a long breath, enjoying Casale's scent, before he broke his silence. Minister Lorelei Cook was on Sugiyama's 710 list. Is this why? Mama and Papa Mitsubishi exchanged fast glances. Quite possibly. Masami knows that Briar and Minister Cook conspired to break up their birth bash. I wouldn't be surprised if they mentioned it to Sugiyama-sensei. But Cook wasn't on Masami's own list. The Anonymous nodded. No. If Masami himself had published about it, I'm sure their background would have come out. But I do imagine an unfinished set-set might hold a grudge. Was Masami trying to manipulate Sugiyama into aiding some kind of revenge? Duke Ganymede laughed now, the motion jiggling his sister's chest. So it's not just Spain, Ando, and me. Even our Briar has something to gain from silencing Sugiyama's 710 list. The cousin chair seemed to wish she too had a fan to hide behind. What are you suggesting? Just that it's amazing a single 7-10 list could have had things on it to embarrass so many of us. If I were a conspiracy theorist, I'd have great difficulty figuring out which of us to accuse. Yes, that's something I've wanted to address. Now the Emperor withdrew his eyes and hands from his lady. This Black Sakura affair has escalated into more than mere distraction. The cars are in danger. That is not tolerable. Hotaka Ando Mitsubishi frowned across at Mason. I thought we decided to leave this to Tycoon. The solving of the case, yes, Caesar answered. But the protection of the cars is separate. You don't think Tycoon can settle it in time? Of course Jed will solve it, Kosale interrupted. But I agree with Cornell. We can't afford the risk of something happening to the cars before they're done. Kosala pushed at a tickling curl at one side of her hair, tempting her lover to nuzzle before tucking it back in place. Your Grace, she looked to Ganymede. What added security have you ordered for the Sanir Weeksbooth Bash? The bash is safe. I've seen to it. That was not enough for the Emperor. What about preparations in case the system does go down? Is the backup facility ready to go online? Have you trained a backup crew? I presume you intend no insult, Caesar. The Duke President shot Mason a brief, cutting smile. I have always had a backup crew. I have always had a backup facility. I've even always had backup set-sets. A quick glare for Faust. The transition won't be seamless. No one is as good as Leslie Sanir or Cato Weeksbooth. But a transition might cost a few minutes system downtime, risk of an extra crash or two over the first few months the new team is in charge. No worse. His murder blue eyes narrowed. You've trusted me with the cars for years. I don't appreciate being accused of being irresponsible with my own. Temper, temper, Your Grace. Madame chided in French, her voice light as a nanny's. These were questions out of concern, not disrespect. We're all here trying to help each other. For her, reader, for Madame Darway alone, see true deference temper Ganymede's two blue eyes. Of course, Madame. Forgive me. Spain intervened now, his voice and posture as serene as if he were waiting to be painted into Madame's portrait. We are grateful for your excellent care, La Tremouille. He began, squeezing Madame's hand tenderly until she gave a smile of agreement. We know no one could guard the cars better, and we trust that, if trouble did arise, you would call on us at once. Most of us are, I think, more concerned about the Black Sakura end of the problem, and the motives of the actors. Déguisé, why did you arrange to fake your own 7-10 list being tampered with? That is the first time we've seen you lie to the press. Oh, to help the Mitsubishi, the anonymous answered, investigating the side struts of Kosala's bodice. Unless something distracted the world from Black Sakura, there was going to be big trouble for Ando. Anyone could see that. Yes, Headmaster Felix Faust confirmed. Déguisé showed me some calculations when they asked me to make a fuss about my list too. There's always an attempt to steal mine. It's a student tradition. But make a little fuss, and it's amazing how fast the public will stop obsessing about one hive and bask in the fantasy of conspiracy. You're welcome, Ando. The director's eyes were not grateful. You could have consulted me first. Or did you not want me to be complicit? The anonymous took a long, pensive breath. Nope, no good. Can't concentrate. Rising, he seized Briar Casella by the waist and hefted her over his shoulder. No easy feat, given her height and smothering skirts, but they have practice. Back in a moment. Oh, my lord, the lady cried, laughing as she struggled to balance on him for the few steps it took to reach a side room which waited for such eventualities. The anonymous fumbled for the speaker control, so they could continue to hear the discussion in the central room while we without were spared the sounds of the activity within. Carry on. We'll be listening. The others mixed smirks with sighs as they watched the door close behind this most eager of couples. The pair did not, I noted, turn on the light in the little side room, preferring their old habit of meeting in the dark. One might imagine Briar Casella would be the hardest of the seven for Madame to lure to her establishment, but she was clever. Briar came at first as an inspector, just as she told Carlyle. The cousin found the curls and skirts and gentlemen charming, but not lure enough to compromise her duty. Not until Madame dropped hints that her establishment was graced from time to time by the anonymous. Oh, how Casella burned at the thought of putting flesh to the voice she had vied with so many times in print, the wisest of her adversaries. Kindly Madame made the arrangements. A rendezvous like Cupid and Psyche's in pitch black, with the promise of no speaking, so the identities of both lovers could remain unknown. All it took to lure the anonymous into the arrangement was to let him glimpse the unknown lady in silhouette through a screen as she donned the many pieces of the costume which drives him joy mad. Dominic was the biggest winner in the betting pool on how long the pair could keep up their affair before they recognized each other in the outside world. 7 months. After that, there was nothing for it but for Casella to join this innermost circle of those privileged to see and know the face of the anonymous. "And you say she wears her wedding ring through this, Mycroft? That the lady crowns this farce of an affair by carrying the seal of those vows exchanged with Vivian Ancelet?" Of course she does, reader. For nothing stokes the fires of love like sweet adultery. The anonymous wears his, too. "You had more to say, Caesar?" Madame invited, running a soft finger along his jaw. "Yes. Mason is accustomed to proceeding while some of the company are distracted. The degree to which this Black Sakura affair has succeeded in threatening not just one hive, but all of them, suggests to me that it was planned by someone with detailed knowledge of the inner affairs of all our hives." Ganymede raised his golden head within his sister's arms. "You suspect one of us?" "I know I'm not the only one who does. We're all friends here, but we also compete within limits when it's in our own hive's interests. This has exceeded those limits. But I'm willing to believe that whoever planned it originally did not expect it to. If someone here is responsible, and you speak now, I will be willing to overlook it and cooperate to see things fixed. Do others agree?"
"Agreed," Faust answered first. "My compliments to whoever concocted this much fun. How about the rest of you?"
"We agree," Ando announced, looking to his wife for her silent consent. "Ours is probably the hive most wronged, but we will overlook it for the sake of a peaceful solution." Duke Ganymede twitched slightly as Ando's fingers strayed far up his inner thigh. "Very well," he conceded. "I shall need a scapegoat for the break-in. Ideally, whatever agent actually planted the list in the house, so I can set the Seigneur Weeksbooth-Bash at ease. But a scapegoat is enough." Madame's portrait face signaled her approval with a slight adjustment of her smile. "I'm sure dear Briar will be happy to see this finished with as little retribution as possible, and the Comte Déguisé is always content with compromise." All waited, but the closed door beyond which the couple sported gave no sign of contradiction. "Your Majesty," Madame invited, "what say you?"
"I think it is a fine solution, Madame," Spain answered, nodding to me to bring his wine. "If the guilty party is indeed among us."
"Good." Madame planted a gentle kiss on Spain's cheek. "Then let the perpetrator step forward, if they are here." All waited, each searching the other's faces. No one moved.
"If no one will step forward, Mason challenged. Then I want each of us in turn to swear our innocence before Jehovah. Jehovah, please listen and verify there are no liars.
Yes, Pater.
Jehovah's place was the corner opposite mine. If I did not mention his presence in the room before, reader, it is because he was distracted, and he can hardly be called present in a place which is little more than storage for his forgotten flesh. He had his chair here, in the corner, his little table, and his cabinet of distractions, always on hand to entertain the child while the parents played. It was crowded now with books, Sartre, Confucius, Augustine. But peeking between the tomes, one could still spy the building blocks and colorful rattles which, in lost years, the toddler Jehovah had not so much played with as manipulated with the impatient patience of a researcher on the 50th step out of 5,000, only the last of which will yield the cure. There was nothing in between among the toys. No dress-up dolls or electronic games, just the tools an infant needs to master coordination, then straight to Plato. He had a book in his hand now, but was not reading it. His mind and vacant senses lost instead in the governance of his distant universe. Donatien, Faust called. Do you already know which one of us it was? You are ready now, I think, reader, to hear each power call Jehovah by their favorite of his many names.
No, Uncle Felix. I know not.
The headmaster's eyebrows danced. Better and better.
I'll begin then, Mason volunteered, raising his right hand as he faced his son across the room. I swear I had neither involvement in nor knowledge of the planning or execution of the theft of the Black Sakura 710 list, or its planting in the Sinir Weeksbooth Bash.
Jehovah did not move, but his eyes locked on the Emperor's face so keenly one might imagine he was counting the atoms of breath which formed the words. He said nothing.
Faust spoke up next. I swear, too, I had no involvement in, nor knowledge of, the planning or execution of the Black Sakura theft, or planting the list. But I'm going to buy a drink for the clever fellow who did.
The King of Spain swore next. Then Ando, Ganymede, his voice as beautiful to hear as he is to see.
Anything, Epicuro, Spain asked.
No lies, Sua Majestad.
And I, of course, Madame spoke gently, as if whispering poetry, one lover to another, had nothing whatever to do with the planning or execution of the theft or break-in. I swear it by your noble self, my dear Jehovah. Still, he did not move, but let his eyes slide from face to face like a computer swiveling its camera while the rest stays bolted to the desk.
Mother speaks the truth.
Same goes for me.
The side chamber opened suddenly, and the anonymous's strong voice broke through.
I swear I had absolutely no involvement of any kind with this Black Sakura theft, or the Sanir Weeksbooth Bash, or anything associated, apart from faking the alteration to my own 710 list to cover things.
The cousin chair and anonymous emerged now, rosy-cheeked, but both far calmer than they had been before their exercise. They had done an admirable job retouching their costumes after their recreation, but the scarlet layers of Casala's skirts had suffered creases during their love plunge, and hints of the real color leaked around the snowy edges of the anonymous's wig.
I'm last, then, I guess, Briar asked brightly.
I too swear I had nothing whatsoever to do with any of this at any level. There. That's all of us, Jed. Any liars?
No, Aunt Briar. None.
I suspect that half the world feels like calling Chair Casala Aunt, but this child, who once bounced on her lap, is especially entitled.
With that soft pronouncement, Jehovah closed his eyes again, exhaustion in his face, for all the world like a great-grandfather roused in his sickbed by descendants squabbling over inheritance, eager to return to the higher thoughts of one near death. I approached him with a tray of food, and told him he should eat, for he had once again lost track of time. He took the food and thanked me, and asked if his Dominic had seemed well when I saw him. I answered that he had. Next, he asked me whether I thought it was cruel to let angelic intelligences mix with human intelligences, long enough for each to learn how the other category's consciousnesses experience a different kind of independence from their God. I did not have an answer.
"What means this vagueness, Mycroft?" "He asked, I answered. Can this lazy paraphrase be that same Mycroft who has hitherto stated the precise language of every line with such care? Give me the words. What tongue does the polyglot J.E.D.D. Mason use with thee, Mycroft, and thou with him?"
What tongue, curious reader? All of them. This desperate being uses all his senses, all his words, our French, our English, Latin, Spanish, Greek, all mixed together to weave his nuance, which translation cannot possibly approximate.
"If the Prince d'Arouet says there are no liars," Duke Ganymede declared, "there are no liars."
"Good." Kosala squeezed her Comte déguisé close as they settled together upon their couch. "I'd hate to have a traitor among us. Thanks for proposing that, Cornell. I feel much better now."
"But who did it, then?" the Duke asked first.
"The Utopians?"
"No."
The Emperor's response was instant.
A scowl's shadow dimmed Ganymede's perfection. "I'd like to hear those words from someone who wasn't in love with Apollo Mojave."
He waited, blue diamonds flicking from face to face around the silent room.
"That is, if there is anyone in this room fitting that description, apart from the Prince d'Arouet and myself?"
One by one, the Emperor, the Anonymous, the King, the Chair, the Headmaster, even the Director failed to meet Ganymede's eyes. He did not even glance at me.
"I think I was considerably less in love with Apollo Mojave than most," Madame volunteered. "And I don't think this is something Utopians would do. Not as politics, or as a prank. It isn't," she groped, "future-oriented enough."
"It's true," Kosala agreed. "They don't care about the 7-10 lists, or the next election. They only care what happens 200 years from now." Duke Ganymede rolled over onto his back, and all within the room, Jehovah excepted, leaned forward to savor the spectacle.
"But have we actually heard them say they didn't do it?" he asked.
"If I may speak, Your Grace," I petitioned, though I knew the shadow my intrusion would cast over the company.
"What is it, Mycroft?"
I dug my fingers into my habit's rope belt, since here I had no hat with which to fidget in my nervousness. "I talked to a Utopian today, one who would know, and asked that very question. If a Utopian is involved in this, then even the constellation trusted with their most sensitive project doesn't know about it."
Madame stroked Mason's black hair gently, as one does to calm a snarling hound. It was not I, but Ganymede, who had dared pronounce Apollo's name. But the hate still burned in Mason. Eyes which had endured the testing of the successor moved almost to anger tears.
"I speculate sometimes how best I might die when the time comes. There are many with the moral right to take my life. But Caesar has suffered more than anyone. Not just Apollo's loss, but the agony of suppressing his rightful rage when he could kill me any hour, any day. If I can gift my death to anyone, it will be Cornell Mason."
Headmaster Faust is an avatar of curiosity. "What project would that be, Mycroft? What constellation?"
Cultural preparations for Mars, I answered without actually lying. That they accepted.
The outsider, then? Chair Casullas suggested.
Ando was first to answer. No.
Why not?
Because the outsider knows nothing about anything, and Europe gains nothing from doing this.
She leaned against her anonymous. We're running out of logical suspects. Either one of us has a subordinate who's betrayed us, Casullas' eyes strayed to the King of Spain, or it's the Utopians, or the outsider, or something else entirely.
I think, Spain voiced mildly, I think it's time we brought the outsider in.
I asked myself, reading this over, why I describe the King of Spain less vividly than all the others. In truth, he is less vivid. Always restrained and stately, trained from infancy to do nothing he could not be seen doing on a coin. I think misfortune, too, has made him quiet. He who alone among the circle joined more out of necessity than choice. For when Her Majesty the Queen was institutionalized, where could our unlucky monarch turn, whose strict office permitted neither divorce nor a common affair, except to this professional king's mistress, unrivaled in the arts of secrecy? He has a conscience, this king, a fierce one, whose gnawing pains him like an illness. Since his queen's death, I have personally witnessed 5 of his attempts to set things right and persuade Madame to become his lawful wife, but Madame always has Caesar holding her other hand, and so the widower must wait.
Bring the outsider in, Danae cried. Over this?
No, no, Your Majesty, this is a petty thing. All this will pass. The outsider will be nobody again at the next election. We don't want to be saddled with them after that.
As you are saddled with me now? He asked.
Her eyes filled at once with sparkling tears, enough to make both her husband and brother hot to comfort her.
Your Majesty, I didn't mean... Spain saved her from finishing.
Paris will win the next election.
Only the anonymous was not stunned too much to ask, why do you think that?
Because Paris has seduced the Prince of Asturias.
Duke Ganymede actually choked at the news.
You must be kidding, Spain.
That upstart has sunk his fangs in Crown Prince Leonor Valentin?
He looked to Madame as if she and she alone had the right to approve such matches.
I don't know if there is sex involved, or merely money and corruption, the king replied, but Paris's alliance with my heir is quite complete. At the next election, if I do not run, the prince will campaign in support of Paris. If I do run, Paris will expose the prince's involvement in certain inappropriate activities. And that, combined with my embarrassment from the last election, will likely end my family's part in politics for the next 2 generations.
We shouldn't invite him in. We should crush him, Danae seethed, forming fists, her porcelain fingers clutched in fragile balls which could never strike a real blow. This affront is outrageous, and against such a venerable line. Madame, you must agree we should ally and crush this offender.
Madame's fan could not hide her painted brow, which wrinkled around eyes bright with calculations.
Certainly, dear child. We could do as you propose. But if that were what His Majesty wished, he would have asked it. Is that not so, Your Majesty?
The King nodded. Paris has not done badly as Prime Minister. Europe is doing well. If Paris has chosen this somewhat underhanded method to remain in office, it may simply be because they know they face a rather unfair alliance on my side. I know that you, my friends, could and would crush Paris if I asked. But I have neither the moral right nor any desire to crush a perfectly competent politician just because we are competing for the same office.
And if Paris isn't as benign as you imagine, you will be surprised, reader, to hear that it was Briar Casullas who suggested the dark option first.
The world's mom may be the most forgiving, but she is also most vicious when family is threatened. What if Perry was behind fixing the last election, too? Planted Zeven Racer on your staff to sabotage you? Cornell Mason nodded.
Sugiyama's 710 list has drawn fresh attention to Zeven Racer. To your embarrassment, Spain. I wouldn't rule Perry out as a suspect for Black Sakura just yet.
The king accepted their counter-arguments in gracious calm as when he hears out all his ministers, though his decision is already made.
All the more reason, then, to test them.
It would be easy to arrange, Madame took over. Perry has been a mid-level member of this establishment for 6 years now. No one could advance so far in politics without some help from here.
Are they addicted?
The anonymous asked first.
Oh ho ho!
Headmaster Faust laughed like a merry giant.
As addicted to the ladies as you are, déguisé? No offense.
He smirked. But the anonymous has long since reconciled himself to the power petticoats and coquetry have over him.
Perry's here twice a week, at least, the headmaster continued. Fond of the Salon Cleopatra, and, I omit here, reader, details, both lewd and brillist, which are not pertinent to this history.
Whatever his other accomplishments, Felix Faust is an unparalleled voyeur, and quick to forget Danae's presence at this opportunity to demonstrate his knowledge.
I've seen Perry in the sex-free sections of the middle level, too, he continued. The dueling ring, gambling rooms, the dance hall, wooing the ladies. That little blonde especially, Clara, is that her name, madame? Wooing as if to wed. Not that one can blame the wretch for wanting some way to be satisfied at home, eh, Ando?
The director did not acknowledge the jibe.
Has Perry made you an offer yet, madame?
Faust asked.
On the bride?
Yes, but it was several millions short of acceptable. Clara is a true jewel of this bash, and Perry has little in the way of funds, though they are growing.
Perhaps, reader, your stomach turns at calling this a bash,
much as it turns at thinking of the ample payment the birth bash of Sidney Coons received for sending their infant off, first for set-set rearing, then to be Eureka's partner governing the cars. But if you turn nurturist on us, distant reader, Caesar will fight you through every generation of the empire.
That makes things simple, the king continued. I propose a meeting. All of us with the outsider. Here, where such things are untraceable. If Perry is, as I hope, a good person, like ourselves, then we can reach a compromise, wherein either Perry or myself will accept a different office, perhaps in Romanova, in return for Perry's admission to our circle and our help securing their desired bride. If, on the other hand, Perry is the villain some of you suspect, then Epicuro will soon unmask them, and we can crush them in good conscience.
Spain smiled at Jehovah, as he called him by the name His Majesty himself contributed to the prince's list. Briar Casella pulled her lover's arms more firmly around her. Your Majesty, exactly what degree of inclusion do you imagine for Perry? Our little company here is more than political.
The Comte déguisé seconded with a nod. I imagine it as a strictly political gathering at first, and each of us will see in time whether we become comfortable sharing more.
Danae hugged her brother closer, as if he were her knight in dark days, or her teddy bear.
I don't like admitting someone who would think to threaten His Majesty. What a horrid mind!
Hotaka Ando Mitsubishi wrapped a comforting arm about his wife's shoulders.
It's all right, Danae. I've met with Perry many times. They're inelegant, but not offensive. I support the idea of their political inclusion, and we can make very clear that it comes with no expectation of sharing other things.
He reached deep under Ganymede now, a And the Duke President's eyes lost focus for a moment as the hidden hand touched home.
Agreed, Ganymede?
The Duke wriggled away from the distraction.
Acceptable? Shall I do the inviting as usual?
The Anonymous pursed his lips.
I don't want to reveal myself until we are sure of Perry, but I'm willing to attend by speaker.
Caesar frowned.
Jehovah, what is your impression of Casimir Perry? Should we invite them to join us?
Jehovah awoke again from his inner solitude. Perry fights for power more fiercely than most fight for their lives. You invited danger by leaving the man outside this long.
Now the frown spread to Kosala. Have you gotten to know Perry during your work at the Senate, Jed?
Barely, Aunt Kosala. This man performs in public always. Here I should hope to see him without his intention mask.
Mason breathed deeply as all digested the words.
Then we're agreed. How soon can we do this?
Madame shrugged, the tightness of her breath-strained bodice commanding the attention of both her gentlemen.
I'll need a day or two to make arrangements, but since you are all agreed on it, my friends, I shall act as fast as possible.
His Majesty nodded.
Thank you, Madame. I am sincerely grateful.
The Anonymous was last to nod consent.
Be careful not to reveal me to Perry before we're ready, Jehovah. Do you understand? Perry doesn't know.
His nervousness may seem excessive, but the Anonymous has been burned by Jehovah's acumen before. How else do you imagine Madame added this most elusive prince to her collection?
It was before I joined the house, but I have heard the story. The Anonymous frequented middle level in his everyday persona, socializing in tea rooms and wooing Madame's ladies, when one day the young master, only 6 years old, addressed him across a card table. I disagree with such and such you wrote in the paper, Monsieur l'Anonyme. The startled guest tried in haste to contradict the boy.
That wasn't me.
But children and sages both grow more stubborn when they know they're right. Jehovah presented proof after proof, and a century and a half of perfect secrecy was no match for him. Madame silenced the lesser card players with bribes, but Caesar, Ando, and Ganymede, who frequent the middle level too for variety's sake, saw at once the value of being able to negotiate in person with the seventh power. Thus was born the guise of de Guise. Madame was overjoyed. She had expected to have to work much longer to capture her Anonymous.
Excellent. We have a solution, Madame proclaimed. Now I'm sure you all have 1,000 things to be getting on with, unless there are other concerns.
Only Felix took the invitation.
One last thing. Since we've strayed rather far from my original topic, I want to make sure, Director and Princesse, that we're parting on good terms. Whatever my opinion of those things you have adopted, my affection for the pair of you is unchanged.
Ando could not smile here. But what are wives for, if not to be forgiving when husbands cannot?
Of course, Felix, of course. We could never be angry with you.
That said, her husband added, I do not intend to block my bar kids from careers in high office just because of your opinion, Felix. I know what they are doing. It is no harm to you. If their presence inside one office or another, he nodded to Kosala and the Anonymous, gives me some small insight into your hives, it is far less than you yourselves already willingly extend. If nothing else, I hope that, as the children mature, they can become liaisons between us and help advise me about your own hive's interests.
Briar Kosala smiled her approval. That makes sense.
Faust did not.
Will you at least get them to stop applying to my institute? I don't know how many times I can restrain myself from shouting set set in public.
A pause for thought.
Yes, Felix. I shall inform June that they are unwelcome at Brill's Institute.
Oh, they're welcome enough as a test subject.
Felix rubbed his hands.
For progress and humanity and all that.
A grim frown.
I will think about it.
Good, Madame proclaimed. We are all friends again. And now,
a kiss on the cheek for Mason. I shall contact you all. A kiss on the cheek for Spain. When I have made arrangements with the outsider. Meanwhile, dear friends, please, for your own health, do take some minutes to enjoy yourselves.
Joy followed. The anonymous attacked laughing Briar's bodice, which their earlier haste had left intact. It was Spain's turn with Madame, and his shy majesty prefers a private room, so they departed, while Mason stretched back to watch modest Danae help her brother get into position for her husband's sport. Faust, meanwhile, invited Jehovah to join him at the crack of the window curtains, the Brillist itching to take notes on his observations of the lives below. Jehovah, Aristotle still in hand, complied. I knew my office and offered Caesar wine. His glance at me seemed tired, though it may just have been the richness of the room. He did not have the stomach to use Latin, not today, not with someone with so little right to it as I have.
I hear you were almost killed in the street today, Mycroft.
Yes, Caesar. The Utopians saved me.
You were seen in uniform. Word is already spreading. This may end your days walking the streets.
I swallowed down my sob.
I know, Caesar.
The attackers were friends of Apollo's. 13 years they'd been planning how to get at you. I'll see to it they're acquitted.
Thank you, Caesar.
You've been making mistakes lately, Mycroft. You're worried about something. Is it this 710 list?
No, it... May I ask a question, Caesar?
I had not intended to whisper, but his face often drives the voicing from my words.
What?
If you had something... Something so wonderful that it seemed that it might, that, given the chance, it would make a better world, for everyone, forever, so much better. But first there was a danger, a terrible, terrible danger that it could rip everything we have apart. Would you destroy that better world to save this one?
The wine fell. As both Mason's hands, black-sleeved and gray, seized me by the rough weave of my habit and hurled me to the floor.
Get out of my sight.
What?
Caesar, I never speak Apollo's words again. Get out!
Chapter the 31st. Dominant Predator.
Mycroft!
Hear now Bridger's sobbing scream rise through the dawn-streaked flower trench.
Where are you, Mycroft? Mycroft!
He had been reduced to old clothes, a green striped wrap, which was almost more holes than fabric, and socks, no shoes, their threadbare toes ripping open as grass and rough dirt scraped his rushing feet. I freely confess, reader, that this chapter is half imagination, for I was still a prisoner at Madame's.
Bridger! Slow down there, kiddo, what's wrong?
It was a stranger's voice, and the boy turned, brandishing a plastic ray gun.
Keep away!
Whoa!
The stranger put his hands up as he stepped from the cover of the trash mine, chuckling, perhaps, at Boo, who bristled at Bridger's side, his sweet blue face not designed to bare teeth.
Mycroft sent me.
Do you know where Mycroft is?
The boy half-shrieked.
No, I'm looking for them too.
but the tracker's been off all day. Turn around. Put your hands up on the wall.
Bridger braced the toy weapon well in both hands. Do you think the Major would not have taught him that?
If I turn around, you won't be able to see me.
It was the truth, for a utopian coat enveloped the stranger in invisibility. Overlong sleeves swallowed his fingers, a hood his hair, so only his face and hints of legs and torso showed through the coat's open front, a sliver of a person, like an otherworldly voyager halfway out of the rift. The boy cocked his head.
Are you dressed as Apollo Mojave?
The smiling stranger pushed the visor up away from his eyes and onto his gold-blonde wig.
Yes, I am. Mycroft showed you pictures of Apollo, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
A fanged smile.
I'm a ghost, you see. It's easiest if I look like someone it's not surprising to see a ghost of.
The stranger's eyes measured the boy's limbs, how long his stride, how fast one would have to sprint to catch him. Even a common house cat toying with a mouse calculates how far it can let its plaything limp and still keep escape impossible.
Who are you?
Bridger asked.
I'm Mycroft's oldest and most trusted friend.
The stranger slid down into a crouch, offering his hand for Boo to sniff.
Mycroft asked me to take care of you if things got bad.
What's your name?
Saladin offered as kind a smile as his snake-smooth face can muster.
Only Mycroft gets to know my name. And you can't tell anybody about me, okay, Bridger? I'm a secret.
He held a finger to his lips.
Just like you.
The tension in Bridger's stance began to ease as he saw Boo wag, seduced by my scent on Saladin.
How come you don't have any eyebrows? He asked.
Saladin laughed.
When I was a kid, I was in a terrible accident and all my skin burned off. See? No hair either.
He lifted the corner of his wig above the temple.
That must have hurt.
Yes. Yes, it did. But Mycroft grew me new skin in the meat maker and patched me up with that. I think they did a good job.
He traced the back of one hand with the other's fingers, following a seam between two patches, now only detectable to we who know that body perfectly.
Was that the same accident that hurt Mycroft?
Yep. Almost killed us both.
Well, officially it did kill me.
Though he still played with the dog, Saladin's eyes were ranging the trench, the light and shadow, the texture of the walls, where best to climb, to hide, to trap.
How do I know he did this, reader?
My Saladin always surveys his surrounding thus, as wild dogs do, and soldiers learn again to do when civilization's rose-tinted daydream breaks. Bridger frowned.
Couldn't you get new eyebrows and hair if you want? Doctors can do that.
I could. But hair has DNA in it that the police can find. I'd rather opt out.
Yeah, hair's hard.
The child's voice was soft after tears.
Mycroft makes me use special clumpy shampoo that's supposed to make my hair not shed except when I comb it.
And special soap that makes loose skin flakes dissolve, right? I use it too. Smells terrible, doesn't it?
As wild a thing as Saladin has never learned to make his chuckle friendly.
But look, I can have eyebrows if I want. See?
He lowered the visor back over his eyes, and the projection filled in brows and lashes faithfully. Not his face, a different face. The cheekbones higher, skin a northern European pale, the eyes like sky. He lifted it and lowered it again.
See? Eyebrows? No eyebrows. Eyebrows? No eyebrows.
The game failed to coax a smile from the boy. "What happened, Bridger?" Saladin asked. "Why were you running just now?"
A fast sob made the ray gun fall slack at last. "They killed Redder."
"Who's Redder?"
"My friend."
Bridger hugged to himself the bag, old army green, which hung at his shoulder, and perhaps a strand of perfect doll's hair peeked from the flap.
"They pulled Redder's guts out and strung them all around the cave."
"Who did?"
"The person who's been watching me. They broke into my cave before and stole my backpack and the no-no box and dropped a big bookshelf on Mama Doll, and now they came back and killed Redder."
Bridger's shudder left him vulnerable, and Saladin pounced in an instant, wrapping the boy in a hug, and in that utopian coat, as thick and safe as when in childhood even the scariest closet monster was thwarted by the magic of the covers. "Hey, it's okay," he soothed. "Relax. No one else can hurt you while I'm here."
Sobs come quickly once it feels okay to cry. "They've been watching me. I took my clothes off to take a shower, and they stole them while I was inside. Aimer and pointer and no-stand were in my pockets, and they're gone, and everybody's scared, and Mycroft's missing, and I can't go to Thisbe because Thisbe's Bosh is being scary."
Bridger tried to break free of the hug enough to look up at Saladin, but the hug locked tight. Animals may hunt by speed, by trap, by disguise, by ambush, but name for me another besides mankind that hunts by trust.
"Shh, it's okay."
Saladin lifted the boy in his strong arms and started to carry him back along the trampled path to the cave.
"Come, show me where your friend is."
"No!"
Bridger tried to wiggle free.
"I can't go back there."
Saladin's practiced fingers locked around the child.
"They might still be alive and need help."
"They aren't."
"You'd be amazed how long a body can stay alive, even after the most astounding things are done to it."
Bridger shook his head.
"Redder's not alive. They're imaginary."
"Imaginary?"
The child's throat gave a plaintive squeak.
"Redder's my imaginary friend, an old imaginary friend from years ago. They're still in there, and there's red guts all coming out and splattered all over the cave. I wanted to miracle it better, but then Redder would be all real, and then the bad guy could hurt them worse."
Bridger sobbed against Saladin's threadbare t-shirt.
"That would be worse, right? Do you think it hurts worse if it happens when you're real?"
Saladin held the child awkwardly, inept at holding without hurting.
"They killed your imaginary friend?"
"I want Mycroft. I want my friends back. I want all this to go away."
Faithful Saladin let the child slip back to the ground, but took the boy's head between his hands, gently but firmly, as when one tests a fruit to see if it's ripe enough to pluck.
"Do you want me to make it so they can't hurt you anymore? Do you want me to make everything go away?"
Imagine now, reader, that you are Providence. You have already decided that your intervention, this miracle with which you have trespassed upon the ordered cosmos, will not die here at Saladin's hands, as I had asked. But how will you prevent it? How will you make my supreme predator ignore the tearful wishes of the one person in the world who matters to him? The answer depends on what kind of providence you are. Are you the deterministic ricochet of pool balls on a table? If so, then you must already have another pool ball on its way. A bird to startle the hunter and make him let go, or a hole to trip him, dug by some rabbit now 5 generations dead. Perhaps you are instead a chess master, moving pieces on a board. Then you move a new piece into play. My queen threatens your king, so you advance one of your own knights. Dominic, perhaps, or Thisbe. Perhaps you are instead a master of puppets, the all-commanding author of the great scroll who has predestined every act of your creatures from infinity.
If so, you can simply make Saladin choose not to kill, as you make every decision for every person from creation to the end of days. Or